Hey, folks, before we get started with the homemade broadcast this week, I just wanted to tell you quickly about NTT Fitness and NTTFitness.com. That is a full health mecca. I tell you what, located in Pinellas Park, you got group fitness classes, you got a gymnasium, you got people that will hold you accountable for your own fitness goals, and they have an excellent meal prep service. Now, I know you can cook your own food. I get it. You know how to do it. Wouldn't it be nice to have some variety, though, and it's delivered right to your door? You can get your entire Sunday back. You don't have to worry about it. It shows up on Sunday night, and then you just put it in the fridge, and you got food for the week. It is awesome. I've been using it for a few weeks, and I absolutely love it. I want you to try it out. Use code LEVELUP15. That's the homemade broadcast code at checkout, and you'll get 15% off your first order, NTTFitness.com. All right, let's start the show.
Beach Drive, Drop Park, Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCP.com. RadioCP.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
Hey, Jenny, hey, Wayne. I don't even like wine, but guess what? You're going to like it. I need some cheese.
Steve, what kind of wine is that you're drinking? I can't see, hon.
Sweet berry wine! I'm supposed to spit it out. But no way, Jose, am I spitting this stuff out? It tastes like fruit.
Okay, and... are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
I'm Bert Kreischer, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on RadioCP.com. My name's Will Koontz. This song is called Lucky Girl by Phaser Days, by the way, in case anybody was interested. A friend of mine asked me what it was that I played on here last week. I'm desperate to find songs that I can actually use and not get dinged for. I want to put these things on YouTube and stuff, but they don't really let you. Because the algorithms are so good that they can pick up on anything. So I even made some, for the HMB Sides podcast, I even made like little intros and stuff. And just use a small sample of this music. They know what it is. They already know what it is. I can't figure out a way to fool this thing. So I guess I got to find the original music. Welcome to the show. Phone, text, line, voicemail line is open. 813-693-2124. As it is always. 365 days a year, I have a person that's there. They're kept in a cage. They will happily answer your phone call. I go by once a week, throw some food in there, a little bit of water, and they're fine. It's a tiny person. They're able to fit in the cage, so don't worry. I bought them on the internet. So everything's on the up and up. Call in 813-693-2124, hmbradio.com. is my website where you can find all the HMB Sides podcasts, the blog posts. You can find out what some dumb website that I found on the internet says. They say that Tampa is one of the best places to live. So you can read about that on there and find out why that's the case. Make sure you share it with a friend if you enjoy any of these podcasts and blog posts and all that. Just these little things like, you know, retweeting stuff on Twitter. You can follow me at @home_made_man. Same on Instagram over there. Just retweeting that stuff, you know, sharing it with your friends, subscribing to the podcast. Those things really do help me out, and they only take very little of your time. So I appreciate you doing it. This week on the show, we got I think that dating apps might be ruining civilization. Not only dating, but civilization as a whole. And I'm going to try to explain why. And why I'm always on edge whenever I tell anybody this. Things that are just, I don't know, normal opinions a few years ago are now controversial. So I'm going to tell you why that happened in bedtime later on the show. And then we got of course, our president tweeted out something last week that was got him in a lot of trouble. So we discussed that a little bit on Stay Woke, and we'll be playing that clip a little bit later on. But first, I want to say thank you so much to Truvy Salon and Spa. They've been with me so long, and I thank them for doing that. Chrissy Parker is doing Tampa Bay's hair, and she's doing it well, my friends. 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, right here in St. Petersburg. Make an appointment with her today at Truvy, T-R-U-V as in victory, Y, salonandspa.com. Make your appointment. She will hook you up, dude. Anything you want. Women, do it. Fellas, hey, she can do guys' hair too. Yeah, she's very, very talented. So make sure you check her out at Truvy, salonandspa.com. All right. So first, I wanted to find a local story from the week that we could talk about before we get to that other goodies, good stuff. And I wanted to talk about, this kind of went semi-viral. It was from Bradenton, Florida is where this happened. And basically what happened was a local business owner, I guess he works for his parents' company, but he'll inherit this business, I'm sure, at some point. He offered a homeless man a job. They got some people down there that, panhandle and ask for money. And he decided, well, I'm not going to give you money, but I can give you a job. So this from WFLA, Ryan Bray is this man's name, said it was time to take a stand. He felt bullied and harassed nearly every day as he drove past one particular corner near his home in Bradenton. The busy intersection at 75th Street West and Manatee Avenue always posed a big problem for Ryan and others, he told 8 on Your Side. It happened over and over. People would approach the stoplight, he says, and bullying would begin. Homeless men and women can be seen each day standing on the corner, holding signs, often approaching cars in an aggressive way. Ryan says it happened again on Sunday when a homeless man he had seen many times before walked over to his car. At that moment, the Bradenton business owner said he had an idea. He wanted to help the guy, so he rolled down his window telling him, I'll pay you $15 an hour to do yard work. Pretty good deal. Ryan says he hoped that the homeless man, who seemed like he was down on his luck, would say yes to a job offer. Not only did the man say no, Ryan says, but the also seemingly indignant about the opportunity. He says, they want money, they don't want jobs, they don't want to work. And I understand that point of view, because it is frustrating, and there is a lot of that. And this man was kind of praised for it, and he decided to harass this guy, kind of. He made a sign saying that he offered this guy a job for $15, and he turned it down, and don't give him anything because he's a bum. And, the story went kind of viral, and he was applauded for this by a lot of people. But I think it's kind of lacks a little bit of perspective, because what we have to remember about the homeless, we have a big homeless problem here in St. Pete. And a lot of it is, I think there's a myth, too, that it's people down on their luck. These people need programs is what they need. They need affordable housing. That will work. That will get them off the streets. But they're not, they're all heart, no head. I've talked to homeless people around here. Some of them, there used to be this dude who was kind of around my old neighborhood, and he would always kind of stop by. Really nice guy. But he was a total, alcoholic. A brutal alcoholic, but great guy, and was willing to work. Hey, let me wash your car, blah, 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 doing all that stuff. And every once in a while, I'd let him do that. And he did an okay job, okay enough for the money I was paying, especially. So there's this myth that these people are just down on their luck. And, of course, they're down on their luck. That's true, but not because they slipped through the cracks of society. It's because they are brutal alcoholics and drug addicts, 90% of them. And that might be a little low. And the ones that aren't brutal alcoholics or drug addicts are severely, severely mentally ill. I see people all day. There's this guy where I work at during the day. He paces back and forth down the street all day long. I don't know how far he goes, but he walks all day. He talks to himself, walks down the street. Never seen him yell at anybody or do anything to anybody. He's obviously out of his mind. So government programs aren't going to help this guy. Affordable housing isn't going to help this man. It goes deeper than that. It's a problem that we have with mental illness and addiction. Now, if you want to argue that the government should do something about that, well, maybe. You know, we used to have back in, you know, I think they kind of disbanded in the 60s and 70s, but there was state mental hospitals where if you were a lunatic and I guess a judge or a doctor or something certified you as insane, they would pick you up and ship you off to this mental hospital. And then you didn't have vagrants roaming the street. Then once these things closed, these people had nowhere to go, so they went to the streets. You can give them housing if you want, but they're not going to stay there, and they're going to trash the place and make it a big toilet, and because it's they don't have the faculties. Like, there's a certain percentage of the civilization that just can't make it. They can't participate in society either because they're mentally ill or criminally insane. Like, even people in prison too. How many of those people actually need to be in prison? Most of them are drug offenders that are sitting there rotting because they, you know, bought some cocaine or had some cocaine, sold some cocaine, and they got, you know, busted three times, so they get put away for 25 years. That's totally insane and barbaric. I think that's something we're going to look at one day in our past and go, wow, I can't believe we did that to people. Like, a lot like chemotherapy, prison. But there are some people who need to be in prison, right? Like murderers and rapists and, you know, violent criminals should be put away. Maybe they can't be in normal society. That's probably the case. Same thing with the homeless. There's just people who aren't going to be able to make it. So if you're willing to say the government program should be, we ship them off to a state hospital, for example, so they can get psychological help and maybe be released back into society. Okay, I'm willing to listen to that. However, now you're taking away somebody's freedom because they might be a little cuckoo. So are you willing to do that? You're sending them away to a prison of sorts, even though they've committed no crime. So that's the trade-off there. But this, I saw another article that, oh, they just need housing and they need affordable places to live. No, that totally lacks. People have no idea what's going on out there. They do what feels right in their hearts, which is good. Like, I think it's, they mean well. But then when they're extra, like, I don't know, hostile about these things, they just know what's going on and they just have no clue. I don't know. I guess I'm claiming that I know the answers too, but I've actually gone out and talked to these people. So I don't know. I think I have a little bit more perspective than these people who just say, no, we just need to help them. They just need help. That's all. And there are some organizations that do, you know, a great job. Hannah's Homeless is one. My friend Lisa Trunzo, you know, helps run that. She was homeless for a long time and pulled herself out of it. Now she's like a nurse and she's runs this charity and she does a lot of great things. So, but it was drugs with her. There was nothing that really society could have done for her. She had to kind of do it for herself. And I think she might even got, I want to say she maybe went to prison for a while and then maybe got clean there. I don't know if that's true or not. I'm sorry, Lisa, if it's not. But something happened. She had some sort of awakening at one point, got off drugs, got her life together. So, I mean, the system wouldn't have done anything for her. She had to do it for herself. And that's, I think, the perspective that we're missing here. 813-693-2124 is the voice and text line. I'd like to hear what you think about this, or you can contact me at hmbradio.com. Just click the contact page, believe it or not. Yep, and you can find all the ways to get a hold of me. I'd love to hear from you. All right, so, anyhooser, I want to say thank you very much to my newest sponsor, Sumi Fink Real Estate with Charles Rutenberg Realty. Sumi is the best. And I can say that because I use Sumi, or I've used Sumi in the past, for real estate. Oh my God, that sounded weird at first. Not like that, guys, okay, and gals. I mean as my real estate person. No, I don't own any real estate, but she did help me find my apartment that was affordable. And it's in St. Pete, and that's really hard to find nowadays. You know that. And she can help you do the same, whether you're going to rent, sell, buy, any of that good stuff. Visit her on Facebook at Sumi, S-U-M-I, Fink, F-I-N-K, Real Estate on Facebook. Like that page. And if you want to get a hold of her via her mobile, it's 727 888-3729. And make sure you tell her that I sent you. So this week on car time or bedtime, whatever it's called this week, I was spending some time in bed because my foot is still very injured. I don't know what I did to it, but it still hurts. And I don't think it's broken or anything. But anyway, I was spending some time in bed just thinking about you. And I decided to record a little bit about dating and why I think these dating apps might be the destruction of not only dating, but civilization as a whole. So let's listen to this bedtime right here on the Homemade Broadcast. Oh, hey, guys. Just kicking it in my bed. I have to be on the defense constantly with anything that I say. There's a war against any sort of color in speech. Like, I'm serious when I say stuff. Like, comedians can, they go up on stage and they say truth in a funny way. And I'm not good at stand-up comedy, so I do this instead. And, I'm probably not even very good at this. But I want to be one day. And, so when I talk to, even when I talk to my friends, I got some way different ideas than what they do about a lot of different things. And I'm constantly on the defense, but I feel like it makes me better. Not fighting, but just being able to explain myself a little better, 'cause I always have to. They never have to. I always have to explain what I mean, and I get accused of being certain things. And I had to tell him the other day, look, my number one priority is our freedom. I want freedom in everything. I also think that some people's freedom can be used to stifle other people's freedom. So, and I also think that some things, while I want you to be able to do certain things, that you should be able to do whatever you want, pretty much, as long as you're not hurting somebody else, I also think some things aren't good to do. And I think they might be bad for society as a whole, potentially. But I also want you to be able to do those things. I really don't care. This place can burn, for all I care at this point. And I got accused of, I got a buddy of mine who is doing so good on the dating apps that it is almost completely enraging. Like, it's I'm happy for him, but it's also like, God damn it, screw you. He's just doing too good. He has these, like, sex appointments that he has now with these, he shows me his apps and these girls that he's talking to. I'm like, Jesus Christ, you're gonna go have sex with that girl right now? He's like, yeah, she's coming over, we're probably going to watch a movie and then have sex. And I'm like, wow, what a life. Kid's got it all, man, I'm telling you. And he's not, you know, he's not like a model or anything. He's a good-looking kid, but he's not like a model, a male model by any means either. And I go, I wonder what, he's just got, there's a ethereal juice that the universe has, and it gives out, and for he's got it right now. He's got the juice. The rest of us, no juice. He's got all the juice right now. Nobody knows what the juice is. It's just when you got it, you know you have it. That's all you can know. And he's had it for a while. He's been doing so good on these apps that I feel like he's disillusioned himself and conned himself into thinking that, like, marriage is a bad thing. He is not sure if he wants to do that anymore. He's not sure if he believes in monogamy anymore. And that's just because he's getting too laid. He's just too stimulated. So he thinks that's just what normal life is. And I think, from what I can tell, that marriage is a good thing. I think it's beneficial to society. the nuclear family, I think, is better having one of those than not. Okay? And maybe it makes me a traditionalist. I don't know. And we talked about it before, and, like, he wants kids, and he wanted a wife and stuff like that. But now that he's getting too late, he's like, yeah, I'm not sure if I'm going to want to do that now. But it's like, how long are you going to continue this lifestyle? Are you going to be 50, 60 years old and do this? I don't think so. So I got accused of being conservative with my traditionalist lifestyle. And I went, how dare you, you son of a bitch. And we got in a fight. Because like I said, I don't give a crap. I think you should do whatever you want. I think you should definitely have your fun. Certainly, no doubt. But he's a little bit younger than me. He's approaching 30. So, I don't know. Once the juice goes away, I wonder how he's going to feel. And we had to have this. I've got another friend of mine who's just, he's into some interesting lifestyle choices that I couldn't do. He's into, like, you know, polygamy and sharing his significant other and all that. And that, it seems like it's more and more common, and it might be. But, so he's more like, he's definitely way more liberal with that stuff than I would be. So I constantly have to defend these, my positions with these guys. And, I don't really have, I'm not super committed. So it's kind of hard for me to do that. I just feel like that's the case. If you can convince me otherwise, then I'll certainly listen. And that really goes with anything, too. Any sort of stance or position. I don't really have any positions. I just have, if I hear something that sways me, then I sway. If I have new information. That's why I try to be, anyways. I don't really hold super strong positions on anything. And I think these apps, too, like, he's doing so good because these apps have told our lady friends that, and not the, I guess the society, these social constructs that we make up, has told the ladies, like, you need to do what the guys do. You know, it's not only in the dating realm, but in the professional world, and, you know, get in there, lean in, be one of the guys. And I think with these apps, it's also told them, like, hey, just do what the guys do. And what do the guys do? They bang chicks. So you know what you should do, chicks? You should bang dudes, and a bunch of them. And I think that's counterintuitive to nature. I think it's always been, you know, our biology, guys are trying to spread that seed, you know, everywhere, sow their oats everywhere, plant wherever they can plant in order to make children, offspring. And that strong desire is just to pretty much bring offspring into the world. But ladies, it's their duty, naturally, to be selective and not let any dude plant in there, you know? You gotta pick the best of the best so we get the better offspring in order to continue the society and get better. And I think that's probably a controversial opinion now. I think some people would be upset with me that I even have that position, but I think that's just nature. I know man can control nature in some aspects. And like I said, I don't care. Do whatever you want. If you want to bang, get a bunch of D's, go for it. I don't care. I love you for it, by the way. Thank you. It's provided me with some good times in my life. However, I don't think it's necessarily good for society. And I think we may be plunging down a dark well where we might just make ourselves obsolete and extinguish ourselves. But, like I said, I'm okay with that. If that's what we've all decided, then go ahead. But don't say that I didn't warn you, because I did, and I'm doing it right now. But do whatever you want. Don't care.
The Homemade Broadcast is on RadioSaintPete.com.
813-693-2124 is the voice and text line. HMBRadio.com is the website. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at home_made_man. This week on, almost forgot. Hey, the Homemade Broadcast is brought to you by HomemadePodcasts.com. That's my side project where if you're interested in podcasting but don't know how to start, whether it's RSS feeds, hardware, software, anything of that nature, I can do it because I'm talking to you through that medium right now. So let's work together here. Whether you're a business that wants to reach new and existing clientele through podcasting, or just an individual who just wants to start a new hobby, it's fun. I think you'll like it. Just hit me up at homemadepodcasts.com, or you can call. Leave a message on HMB radio line, 813-693-2124. All right. So, the political landscape is completely a desolate wasteland. Everybody's fighting with each other. Everybody hates one another. Not only are you wrong now if you have different opinions from your fellow neighbor and man and woman, that you're also evil now, as it turns out. Or maybe you're a racist or sexist or whatever. You know, you're not just wrong anymore. You got to be an ist. And so this week, our president up there, he decided to put out a tweet against these four ladies, junior Congress ladies, that are not very nice to the president either. But he decided to hit back, and he tweeted something he probably shouldn't have. And of course, it got blown way out of proportion because that's what happens now. Instead of focusing on policy, they focus on stupid stuff on Twitter. That's where our political landscape is now. So Anna and I talked about this on Stay Woke, and I wanted to share it with you. Stay Woke is a radio program, actual FM transmission, that can be heard on 102.5 The Bone here in Tampa Bay. Or you can get it at theboneonline.com if you're outside of that area. Or you can get the app on your smartphone, which I would suggest that you do, because you can get news, traffic, all the Bone shows. We got a great lineup of radio veterans. Mike Calta just re-signed. He's going to be here for a long time. He's in the top 100 talkers in the country. And then it's just an excellent radio station. I'm so happy to be a part of it. And we do our show at midnight, you know, so you're probably not awake. So just get the app, and then you can hear it on demand at your leisure. So let's hear what President Donald Trump said this week that everyone got super TO'd about. And I hope you enjoy.
Did you see what Trump posted? And I go, oh, yeah. No. What did this man do now? But apparently Trump got a little hot on Twitter yesterday and didn't sound good.
It was, I saw it and I went, oh no.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. So basically the deal was that Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, is fighting with these young progressive women that are kind of, I guess, of color. I don't see why that matters, but yeah.
That's what they're claiming, and that's how they're labeled. So.
Right, and they kind of called Pelosi a racist over the weekend for attacking them because they're not Democrats. You know, they're not a Pelosi Democrat. They're like these new age progressives. So they're not really, they're kind of two different parties now. The Democratic Party is split in two. So they're fighting with each other. So I think Trump was like, don't worry, Nancy, I'll help you.
Yeah.
And he dropped a sledgehammer at her feet because he made the comment of basically saying, if you don't like America, go back to where you came from. I'm paraphrasing, of course.
Yeah, I have it here, actually. I'll read it. So it's three parts. Part one says, so interesting to see, quote, progressive Democrat congresswomen who originally came from countries whose governments are a complete and total catastrophe. Mind you, three of the four were born in the United States.
Yeah, I don't think you knew that.
The worst, most corrupt, and inept anywhere in the world. I love his little, like, parentheses, like the jokes. Mm-hmm. It says, if they even have a functioning government at all.
Nice.
It says, now loudly and viciously telling the people of the United States, the greatest and most powerful nation on earth, how our government is to be run. They're part of the government, dude. They are the government.
Yeah.
And says, why don't they go back and help fix the totally broken and crime-infested places from which they came?
Oh, boy.
Then come back and show us how it is done. These places need your help badly, and you can't leave fast enough. I'm sure that Nancy Pelosi would be very happy to quickly work out free travel arrangements! Exclamation point.
Yeah, see, he thought he was helping Nancy out.
No, he didn't.
But Nancy went ahead and took that sledgehammer that he dropped at her feet and bashed him over the head with it, because this immediately got called out for being racist.
Of course.
Yes.
And I don't think that, like, he knew that Nancy Pelosi wouldn't like this, but here's the thing. When you see intra-party conflict, you got to go deep, because if you see that there's a little bit of a schism, I feel like if you're part of the other party, you want to widen that division.
Oh, I thought all he had to do was shut his mouth and not tweet about it. Let them eat each other. That would be his best bet. Mm-hmm. But he can't. He's not capable of doing that. He had to interject.
Self-control.
Yeah.
And if anything, this would probably mend things quicker, I would assume, because both of them, the four women that he attacked and Nancy Pelosi have both condemned what he said, obviously. And I feel like they would, because again, the enemy of the, what is it?
Enemy of your enemy
is your friend. Right, exactly. So that's kind of how that went. And the four women of color was AOC. So I can't not say it like.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
I can't say it. I can't not say it like Tim Dillon. Like, I have to say it like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Cortez.
Yeah, her and then Mama Obama.
What's that?
I'm sorry. What's her name?
Ilhan Omar.
Okay, she's from. She was the only one that was born outside of the U.S.
She was born in Somalia.
Somalia, correct? Yeah. Yes. And then two other women.
Rashida
Tlaib,
and I don't know the other one.
Okay, so I got a little bit of AOC's speech, a little bit of her blowback of what she wanted to say to Mr. President Donald Trump, and I have it right here. But there's probably going to be an ad, so just relax for like a second. Okay, no ad. Here we go.
Nice.
Oh, no, there's an ad. There's a 14-second ad.
Oh,
all right.
Good God.
So, she's actually a better orator than I anticipated. AOC. Yeah.
Well, she auditioned for that job. The Progressive Democrats, there was some pact that they had that they interviewed people to run for this seat, and she won. So she's very capable. Yeah.
I mean, I don't agree with a lot of pretty much most of what she says, but again, she is a good speaker. So here's a little bit of this.
But it was my first time ever visiting Washington, D.C. And it was my only time visiting Washington, D.C. for years, if not decades. And he rested me on the side of the reflecting pool.
Sorry, this is her father she's talking about. We missed the beginning.
And had my toes dip in the water. And he had me look at the Washington Monument, had me look at the Capitol, had me look at the entirety of the capital of our great country. And he looked at everything and he pointed to all of it and he said, this belongs to all of us. This belongs to you and it belongs to me. And so the first note that I want to tell children across this country is that no matter what the president says, this country belongs to you. Mm-hmm. And it belongs to everyone. And today, that notion, that very notion was challenged. This weekend, that very notion was challenged. So I am not surprised when the president says that four sitting members of Congress should, quote, go back to their own country when he has authorized raids without warrants on thousands of families across this country. I am not surprised that he uses the rhetoric that he does when he violates international human rights and takes thousands of children away from their families. I am not surprised that he has turned our public education system under the leadership of Betsy DeVos.
All right, so you guys get the point.
Yeah, it just turned it into more political fodder.
Yeah, but it's so funny to me because, like, I imagine him, like, I imagine someone saying that tweet, like, driving down the road, screaming at someone out of their car, like, that sort of rhetoric, being like, go back to where it came from. Like, it's just something, it's like road rage. Yeah. It's road rage, but it's written on Twitter that something you can't delete, because even if you delete it, it's screenshotted. People are on that radar, like, you know, all the time. People know what you're saying all the time.
Yeah, and he's notorious for doing this. He's an ass. I mean, I don't. The thing that was amazing though about this to me was just the tribalism that I saw all day long. So people had super hyper emotional reactions.
Right, right.
And the premise, something that drives me nuts with how we talk about these things now, is people just jump. They go, "This is racist." Now, anyway, now that we've established that this tweet is racist, now we're gonna, like, what are we gonna do about it? Now it's racist president is trending. The Washington Post. I mean, they all just jumped all over this. I'm not sure if that comment alone could be called racist, and here's why. So if you have a person, if this person was from Germany.
I literally just made this argument during Johnny's show, but yeah, go ahead.
Okay, oh, so, yeah. So good. So, yeah. And that's probably the, that makes me feel good then, so I'm not an idiot.
No, I use Norway, but it, yeah, similar, yeah.
So. Sure. European country.
Sure, white country.
And he said, go back to where you came from. Would that be a problem?
No.
And I think the answer would be no.
No.
But there's something going on in the culture now where, for whatever reason, you, if a white person says anything is critical about a person of color or a non-white person, the assumption is...
yeah.
The assumption is that not that there's actual real qualms that this person has, but it's based on their skin color.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah.
And that's dirty pool to play that game to say that that's what it is, because there are real... like, there's real criticisms there.
Sure. I think, obviously, he didn't have to add the go back to where you came from bit. Like, that could have been left out. No,
he's
totally.
An ass.
And I'm not defending him or not defending him. And I feel like a lot of the problem with Donald Trump and people possibly who support him or is the thing that, and I kind of find myself somewhat in this camp where you agree with a lot of the policies, but you don't like the rhetoric. Or you like the, like, I like the rhetoric, but for comedy purposes, because it's entertaining, not because I want a president who talks like this. Go back to where he came from. That's something you scream out of your car window. That's not something you write on Twitter as POTUS. You know what I mean? But no, I completely agree. Like, had he said, go back to Norway or Germany or Denmark or anything like that, I don't think that those statements would have been regarded as racist. And if we really break it down, what racism is like believing that you are somehow are superior or that another race is inferior to you. Mm-hmm. And that's not what he said. He didn't say kill the Jews or I hate black people or, you know, you're better than this person because of your skin color.
Right.
If anything, it would be like nationalist, like, you know what I mean? Because you're talking about a nation, even though people in that nation are usually a people or, you know, are people of color, whether it be Mexico or Somalia or something like that. He did not say anything about those people being inferior.
Right.
But again, it's under this umbrella of, like, you're racist, go back to where you came from, and racists usually make those statements, and ergo, he's racist, which I think is unfair.
I think that's unfair, too, and it's been the trope that's been going around. This has been Trump's a racist since he was running for president. Ever since they used the birth certificate thing with Obama as proof that he's racist. I mean, that's what it's been. So they went ahead and did that and said this statement is a racist statement. I'm looking at it. I'm just going, it just seems like he's being an asshole to me. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't really see him. He didn't mention any race in it. And people are confusing location on the planet with skin color. So, again, it's like if he would have said go back to Germany to some German guy, no one would have a problem with that.
No.
But they conflate because it's convenient for them. Because it's really like... because all over Twitter and stuff, it's, you don't support a racist president, do you? That's a loaded question.
Right. No, absolutely. And you have to unpack that before you say, well, no. You
exactly.
have to debate the actual premise of that statement.
Right. And that's my problem is that so often people will just do that. They establish a premise and then go, well, this is true. So now we can move on to the other side. And you go, wait a minute. You can't just do that. If you're going to do that, we have to have a conversation about it and find out if it really is racist. And I saw people asking, why is this racist? And the retorts were that it's plainly, clearly racist. But, okay, then can you say why? Just say why it is, if it's clearly is. But I wonder if it's like, I don't think, do people really believe it? Or is it just convenient because it's just the tribalism thing? It's an easy way to win an argument. Because, of course, you don't stand by a racist president, do you? Well, no, of course not. Okay, then when you need to vote against them and get them out of there, we need to impeach them.
Right. I mean, It's not. I don't want to say it's racist, but it's like, I feel like it's some sort of like intersectionality of like, I'm going to put in quotes, being racist, even though it's nationalist, but you understand like different groups of people and it happens to be people of color, and just being kind of like a jerk. And also it's, unfortunately, it's something that probably a lot of racist people say, right? So then they go, okay, well, if racist people are saying that, yeah, and you say that, therefore you yourself are a racist, even though the words themselves aren't racist. It's kind of like racist rhetoric. So it kind of gets mixed up into the xenophobic, racist kind of statement. And then beyond anything else, these people, these four women, AOC and whoever they are, mm-hmm, they are loving this right now. This this is such a beautiful, perfect thing to fall into their hands. Fits right into their narrative. Oh, he's being racist, mm-hmm, again against women, one, mm-hmm, of color, two. Yep. Beautiful. This is exactly what we wanted. And if anything, this is probably bridging the gap between them and Pelosi, because now they're like, oh, God. And then she probably called them each up and was like, listen, you know I didn't have anything to do with this. Right. Of course not. We know, Nancy. I know these are just our personal
problems.
They
still don't like each other. They still don't like each other. However, it's a temporary peace offering.
Yeah.
You know, because now they got bigger fish to fry right now. I think they see this as an opportunity. Ilhan Omar came out and said, it's time to impeach this guy. Like, we have to impeach this guy now.
On what?
So, because he was a jerk to her, I guess. But that's what I don't understand. Like, that is the most 2019 thing all year, is that impeach the president because he was a jerk to me. You can't, that's not, that doesn't work.
My feelings.
Yeah.
You're on Stay Woke. Who's this?
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
You're on Stay Woke.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Can I respond to what he's saying?
Yes.
Okay. The reason that it's racist is because he didn't tell white people to go back to where they came from. He picked out four people of color in Congress and put them on a panel and told them to go back to where they came from. It's not.
Yeah, but
I'm white.
Right. I got you. But that could be, first of all, it's a coincidence that they happen to be people of color. But if it was somebody who was a German and he said, go back to Germany, nobody would have a problem with it.
Because there's lots of things. There's lots of, if they were Republicans, if they agreed with him, he wouldn't say, go back to where you came from. I still hate you because you're black, because you're brown. To me, it seems like it's a political ideology. That's what they're disagreeing on. The fact that they happen to be a different type of color doesn't help his case. But I feel like it's not because they are black or brown. It's because they don't agree with him. It's because they're calling Nancy Pelosi a racist. And that's why he made the statements that he did.
And I think a lot of it has to do with his whole anti-brown people from the very beginning, whether that be black or Mexican or any other.
Do you think? Do you really think he hates Hispanics or he hates Mexicans or even though he has some in his cabinet or did? I mean, Acosta was Hispanic.
He did, but was it for show or was it because
he can't win? That's my point exactly. Is he can't win. So if he has say a brown indigenous person in his cabinet, he'd say, oh, that's just for show. And then if he doesn't, they go, oh, you're a racist. Yeah,
but even if that's the case, they're still like, it's a good thing because he's putting them in positions of power, right? And that's a good thing.
But then they also got revoked out of the same position.
Well, he resigned over a different matter. It wasn't because he wasn't doing his job. It was the Epstein thing.
Yeah.
And there's other people in his cabinet.
Yeah, you got Ben Carson in there. I think actually he has. Go ahead, sorry.
I just think the reason that everybody's so up in arms is because of those statements that he made in his past. And now he's just singled out these four individual women. Why didn't you tell all of the people in Congress who are Democratic or Republican that are standing against what your beliefs are and tell them all to go back to their country?
Yeah.
Why was it just those four women that were picked out?
Because they're the troublemakers.
They were the ones that were calling Nancy Pelosi a racist.
Right, right.
And he decided to go after them because he saw a schism, a little bit of a crack in the Democratic Party, and decided to push all in. To be honest with you,
Nancy threw the hammer back at him.
Yeah, of course he did. Honestly, I don't think that this is, I don't think he's racist. Do I think it's racist rhetoric? Not really. Is it something that racist people say? Probably.
Yeah.
So I think that's where the confusion lies, or the conflation lies. But again, I don't know the guy. Maybe he's racist.
Dude,
I don't know.
He's
he's
an old white guy. He's probably racist. You know who else has been racist? Every president we've ever had. You know? I mean, it's not surprising.
Right?
All right, there we go. Stay woke. Midnight's 102.5 The Bone. 813-693-2124 is the voice and text line. HMBradio.com is the website. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at @home_made_man. Follow Radio St. Pete at Radio St. Pete. And if you're listening on Radio St. Pete, I sure do appreciate that. Stay tuned. Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is coming up next, followed by the Indie Circuit. And if you're listening on podcast, wow, you really do rock my world. I certainly do. Thank you so, so much for doing that. And with that, I'm going to leave you. Have a great week. Am I forgetting anything? I don't think so. We're up against the clock. The eternal clock. My name is Will Koontz. This has been the Homemade Broadcast. This is HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete. I hope you have a great week. Talk to you later. Goodbye.
Have found the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSt.Pete.com.